And I invite you to open your Bibles to the Ephesians. I'll be reading from chapter 5, just a few verses, starting with verse 15 through verse 21. Once again, Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 15 through verse 21. The word of the Lord says as follows. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. Let us close our eyes and bow our heads, and I'll have a short word of prayer. Lord, we come before you as your church, as your body, as the redeemed people of God, giving you glory and honor and praise, thanking you for your presence in the house of prayer. For we know, because your word tells us, that where two or three are gathered in your name, you there are present. We implore your presence, we welcome your presence, and we glorify your name, and we thank you for being our God. We thank you for loving us, even though we never deserved it. We thank you for sending your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to bring peace between God and man. We thank you for giving us the will and the knowledge to know you, to repent of our sins, and to call upon you as our personal Lord and Savior. And we thank you that you did not reject us, you did not turn us away, but you died for us, you saved us, and you are our Lord, you are our God, you are our King, and you are our Redeemer. We thank you that you've created us as dependent beings, dependent upon you for grace and for mercy, for knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We thank you for sending your word that is the truth, for sending your word that is a clear book of instruction for us on how we are to live to please you. And we ask that you open up your word that you have written. We ask that your Spirit take the words of Scripture and put them in our minds and in our hearts, that we may grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Teach us, encourage us, instruct us, and help us all the days of our lives to remain your children, giving you glory and honor and praise, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We bless your name. Amen. Please be seated. The season that we have started with June, the middle of June, the end of June, as the school year stops. I know for some the physical school year has stopped sometime in February, March. But generally speaking, the beginning of June, the end of May, marks what most of us growing up knew as summer break, summer vacation. And and as we got older, the big question that we asked each other, as we got older and wealthier and more comfortable, because that really wasn't around when I was a kid. We were all poor Romanian immigrants. But as we got, as the church began to be more prosperous, the question that would arise is, what are you doing for summer break? Where are you going? What exciting things are in store? And I know that for people in other parts of the world, Disneyland is a highlight, where we're going to Disneyland. For California, it doesn't mean much, and especially nowadays, you know, it's closed. Then you'd go back to school in September. And when you'd go back to school in September, I can remember going back in Chicago, Illinois, where I grew up. And one of the main questions that we talked about for day one, day two, and day three of class was, what did you do for summer break? What did you accomplish? What did you do? And everyone would tell of what they did. And the more exciting it was, the better. Well, in this time and in this season, looking in the Word of God, the Word of God does tell us what we should do for summer break. It tells me as a person who is a lifelong student, but not, let's say, actively engaged or enrolled. It tells the tradesman, it tells the professional, it tells the youth, it tells the children, the kids, the adolescents, what they should do to be pleasing to God during their summer break. And there are really two words that sum it up, but there's an additional word that the Greek puts in and that we put in. And that's why if you have your Bibles, I want you to open your Bibles. And if you don't have your Bibles, try to get, summer break should be a time when we bring our Bibles to church. And get into the habit of doing it, and then you can do it year-round there. But if you don't, I appreciate the prompt response of the AV team there. And if you can put on the screen Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. And when you take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, we have three words that I would like to serve as the subject of my Vorba Fratelui Dr. Dorin short English summary there. Redeeming the time. In Romanian, it's two words, răscumpărați vremea. What can we do, what are we to do to please God this summer according to Scripture? And it says the following, redeeming the time. Now, when I read the New King James Version, which is my translation that I have here at the pulpit, and I see the word redeeming, I scratch my head a bit, and I say, all right, well now, what exactly does that mean? So I have the bilingual version. And I quickly go to the Romanian to see, is it easier for me to understand the Romanian version? And I read verse 16, the first word says, răscumpărați. And that doesn't clear up the waters for me much either. I get the general idea of what redeeming means, and I get the general idea of what răscumpărați means, but I don't quite get it, because it's difficult to fully translate the Greek. So then we have advantages to be able to go to the Greek. And when you go to the Greek, dear friends, more clarity comes before you and me. Our job from the pulpit is to make clear the understanding of Scripture so that when you read it, you can better understand it. And so when we look at the Greek word for răscumpărați, the Greek word for redeeming is exgorazomenoi. Want to try that? Exgorazomenoi. And what does it mean? Well, in the Greek, it means to buy up. In other words, you have some money and a great car. You know, a Porsche Carrera, a 911 with 10,000 miles on it, the perfect silver classic look, has just appeared at the dealer, and it's only $10,000. And you have the money. So you want to go buy it up. You've got, because if you don't get it, Coco's going to go get it. And for crying out loud, even Frate Doreen might go and get it there. So we're all, we've all got the money, and we've got to put our hands on it. We've got to get this car. Well, that's the Greek nuance of redeeming the time. It's one aspect of the Greek nuance, to buy it up. You have the resources, use them, and use them right, and use them quickly. But it also means rescue from loss. In other words, you have the summer, you have the youth, you have your youth, you have the day, you have the klipa, you have this second. This second is going to go away. The time that we spend here in church today will be gone in a few minutes. And we will never be able to get it back. The Greek word, raskumparats, the Greek word, redeem the time, has the nuance to buy it up, because if you don't, it will be lost and lost forever and never be able to come back. As such, when we hear the word redeem in this sense and in this context, when the apostle, pardon me, when God, the Holy Spirit, says, this is not the apostle speaking first and foremost. This is God speaking. And when God speaks and says, redeem the time, we need to take heed to it. And we will see what that means. But there's another word that we have to take account of. And that's a word that I think I understand in English, and I think I understand in Romanian, but not as fully as I should, in English at least, or in Romanian. It says, redeeming, what are we to buy up? It's not the Carrera, sorry. What are we to suffer, to avoid losing forever? It's not something material. What does it say? What are we to redeem? The time. Răscumpărați vremea. În traducerea în limba română, Cornilescu. When we look at the Greek word for time, Romanian vremea, the word is kairon. Beautiful word. That does mean time, yes, but it also more fully means opportunity. Opportunity. Ocazie. It means a favorable moment, un moment prielnic, a time that is unique, a time that you can never get back. As such, the beauty of the word is that the three words in Greek are exa gorozomene ton kairon. What to do on summer break? When you go back to school, hopefully you'll be able to see people live, if not on Zoom. And they ask you, What did you do during summer break? Use the Greek. Or if not, use the English or the Romanian. Why not? And tell them exactly what you did. So, dear friends, the question is, and all of that to introduce my subject. How? What I'd like to speak to you this morning is how, cum, din punct de vedere biblic, cum putem răscumpăra vremea? How can we redeem the time? Because we have to buy it up, we have to use it, otherwise it will suffer loss. Well, the first thing that we must do to be biblical about it, to redeem the time, is if we haven't done so already, we must believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. If you have entered into summer, dear friends, winter, fall is coming. And while it is still summer, while there is still opportunity, while there is still a chance, if you still have not repented of your sin, if you still have not recognized that you cannot save yourself, if you still have not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to forgive your sin that you have repented of, if you still have not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to give you his Holy Spirit as evidenced in new birth, if you still haven't said, Jesus Christ, please save me from my sin, redeem me, save me, come into my life, come into my heart, dear friend, you're wasting your life. You're wasting an opportunity. You may be wasting the last opportunity on something that is much more precious. You can't even compare it to anything. The apostle says, more precious than gold that perishes is eternal life. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 notes as follows, that God, who desires all men to be saved. Do you want to do the will of God? God, who desires, wills all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. As if you are not saved, if you have not given your life over to Jesus Christ and trusted in him and followed that up with water baptism, your friends, you're wasting the summer, you're wasting your life, you're wasting away. Seize the opportunity. Seize the occasion. What can you do this summer? Well, salvation is a key. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. If you can project the 2 Peter text there. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Tot să vină la pocăință. Repentance is an outdated word. We need to bring it back in vogue. We need to bring it back into our lives, into our mentalities. When the Apostle Paul was speaking to the elders, the presbyters, the leaders of the church in Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, if you could project that verse, please. What he's saying is that his message towards them was repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Și să vestesc iudeilor și grecilor
pocăință față de Dumnezeu și credință în Domnul nostru Iisus Hristos.
A to-do list for the summer, starting today. Repentance towards God. That's good work. Do you think that it's God's will? Do you need to sit on your knees and pray, God, I'm wondering what your will is? That really is somewhat pathetic.
God tells us to not be ignorant about God's will. God's will is revealed to us clearly in Scripture. If I am not saved, if you are not saved, God's number one will for your life is salvation. He does not want any to perish, doesn't want my children to perish, doesn't want your children to perish, but all to come to repentance. God, give us repentance towards God
and faith towards Jesus Christ, starting today and all the days of our lives. Well, that's the first thing that we need to do on our list of to-do for this summer. The second thing that the Bible talks about and that the Spirit speaks to us when it tells us to redeem, buy up the time, the opportunities, is that during this summer, we should all get into the habit of allowing God's Spirit to sanctify us. To-do list for the summer. What are we going to do with the summer? It's the opportune time to allow God's Holy Spirit. Anybody believe that God's Holy Spirit is still at work? I believe God's Spirit is at work. Do you know that one of the fundamental things that God's Holy Spirit does is He sanctifies the church? Pastor mentioned this morning, God is holy, three times holy. Scripture mentions that when God is holy, His requirement is given to us always. Be holy as I am holy. We are a holy people of Jesus Christ. That means separated from the world. That doesn't mean blending in the culture. It means standing out from the culture. If we can influence the culture, praise God, but we cannot allow this summer and the rest of our lives the culture to influence us. When you take a look at and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Beautiful summer text for everyone, youth and middle-aged and old people. Take a look. Our text in Ephesians speaks about knowing the will of God, doesn't it? Ci cunoașteți voia lui Dumnezeu. Fiți înțelepți. So what is the will of God? Can you guys see that up there? What does it say? For this is the will of God. You know, the Newsboys have that song that I don't really understand what God has willed, what God has planned. Back on the text, I've changed the lyrics to that song. And I say, thank God I'm skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned, because that's what Scripture says. Do you believe the Bible or do you believe the Newsboys? All right. Maybe we need to re-examine our lyrics theologically. You know, pastors, theologians used to examine all songs. I mean, John Wesley, fac o scurtă paranteză. John Wesley wrote thousands of wonderful hymns. And do you know that his own church, out of the thousands of hymns that he wrote, only chose about 650 of them that were sufficiently sound, where the harmony and melody blended with the theology to publish to be sang. I think we need to rethink our discernment in a lot of things. That's part of sanctification. Take a look at our text again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Let me read it for you. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Voia lui Dumnezeu este sfințirea voastră. This summer, if you're not saved, what do you got to do? You got to get saved. Once you're saved, you are justified, set aside by God, made holy by God, and the process of sanctification begins in your life. Most of us here are saved. That means this summer, what we need to do is thank God for our salvation and begin, kind of turbocharge, the formerly lethargic process of sanctification and say, I want to be sanctified this summer and for the rest of my life. Take a look. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, anybody here need more sanctification? Anybody here need to be purged, rebooted, starting afresh, starting anew? Anyone here need to put off the old and take on the new? Anybody here need to pay attention to God more, pray more, read scripture more? Take a look at what our text goes on to say again. Not Paul's words, not my words, not pastor's words, God's words. Take a look at what it says. Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Summer's a great time to break the devil's chain and hold on your mind, on your eyes, on your heart, on your fingers, on your hands, on anything that you do. Seize the opportunity. It's going to be gone if you don't. If you haven't repented of those secret sins, the Holy Spirit is telling you, he's telling me, Leonard, get rid of it. Give it to Jesus. Jesus is coming back for a purified church without spot and without wrinkle. And yes, I know it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us of all sin. But dear friends, for the blood of Jesus to cleanse us of all sin, we have to repent. God doesn't forgive everybody. God forgives nobody that doesn't repent. That's why it says repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this summer, if you're struggling as a youth, if you're struggling as a married man, as a married woman, if you're struggling as a middle-aged person or an elderly, seize the day. Take hold of the day. Buy it up. It's available. Wisdom screams out in the streets. It's available. But to get it, we have to seize the opportunity. And the opportunity is being presented in a day like today, at what is near the beginning of summer. Because you remember the prophetic word that says, A trecut vara. The summer is gone. And the fall has come and we still are not saved.
You may never have another summer like this summer. You may never have another day like today. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, quoting from the Old Testament. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says, Câtă vreme se zice astăzi? As long as it is mentioned today, do not harden your hearts, but receive Jesus. As long as it is said today, do not say, listen, I'm going to worry about this sanctification thing later on. Leonard, you're a legalist. I'm saved by grace.
Oh, dear friends, I'm not a legalist. I have legalistic tendencies. I get it. But these guys will correct me. You guys will correct me. I'm not hiding. But let me show you what the Holy Spirit says regarding this legalistic accusation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2. You can take a look at it. If you want to call us legalists, you got to call Jesus Christ a legalist and Paul a legalist. For you know, church, what commandments we gave you. I thought the commandments were gone. Really? That's Seattle. Anarchy. That's where it goes. We have to know right from wrong. We have to have boundaries. The relativistic society in which we have entered the summer says no barriers. Just go with the flow. And that kind of blends with uncritical Pentecostalism. Brother, we're just led by the Spirit, really. The Spirit is subject to the prophet, and the prophet is subject to the Word of God. It has barriers. If you can put our text back up. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. So, what do we have to, as far as our task for this summer? Ce vom face vara aceasta? Allow God's Spirit to sanctify you and me through the practice of purity. If you're having trouble with purity, please don't let this time go to waste. Talk to God. Talk to your parents. Talk to your spouses. Fast. Pray. Get rid of it. Bury it and let it be gone forever. We need moral purity in the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you can't resolve it that way, or if it's that stubborn, you have men of God. Ask for help. Ask for counsel. Not that they're going to forgive you your sins. No, they don't have authority. I don't have authority to forgive anyone's sin. But we can help navigate. We can help show you where you have fallen, and we can bring you before the Lord and hold you accountable. Again, hopefully you don't need that route. Because there's plenty of God's power in His Spirit to set you free. If you want and you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will free, He will release, and He will give us a joyous, wonderful, pure, and clean life. Guilt-free. If you're feeling guilty, good. That's the Spirit's job. To convict. People go to therapists for feeling guilty. They spend lots of money. If they come to a minister, say, "Minister, you know, I feel guilty for doing this, this, this." Well, you should. That's a good sign. It means the Holy Spirit is still working in your life. So let the Spirit continue to take that conviction and lead you to Jesus Christ as faith in Jesus Christ. Abstain from sexual immorality. Learn, it says in our text there. If you can project the text up on verse 4, because many times we hear passages in Scripture and we think it says something, and then we go to Scripture and it doesn't say that at all. Or we think it doesn't say that. What do you mean, brother? It doesn't say that. He said, well, yes, it does. Let's go to Scripture and see. So let's look at what it says. Verse 4. Watch. Opportunity for the summer school, summer camp, that each of you should know. Fiecare din voi să știe. Is this God's responsibility să ne îndoape cu cunoștința aceasta? No! God's will is our sanctification, the verse back up, that each and every one of you should know how to possess. Not the devil to come in, no. Each one of you should know how to possess, stăpânească, take hold of, să stăpânească, to possess his own vessel in all, there's that beautiful word again, in all sanctification and honor, demn de respect, demn de cinste. Vasul meu, vasul nostru, în vara aceasta, we have to get used to the concept that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God lives in us, and we cannot take this body and prostitute it physically, emotionally, with clothing. No, we have to maintain decency. This is not legalism. This is biblical Christianity. This is normal Christian walk. This is what we need to work on all the days of our lives. But why not use every opportunity? I mean, the Democrats do. Let's use this summer, starting today, to redeem. God has given us the opportunity to take our bodies and present them as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. God has given us the opportunity this summer to not be transformed, to not conform to the world outside, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we may be able to discern what is the good and holy and beautiful will of God. Well, that's Scripture. That's not taking a passage out of its context. That's in its context. It's the same Spirit who inspired Paul, the same Spirit inspired and wrote Peter, the same Spirit wrote Acts, the same Spirit wrote Revelation, and the same Spirit wrote Genesis. It's all there. It's the same author. Why is there unity in the Bible? Well, hello, it's God's Word. God is not an author of confusion or division. The holy triunity of God is a triunity, not a third. Not thirds. Sometimes Trinity gets confusing. I like to say triunity. Entirely God. God the Father always was, always will be God. God the Son always was, always will be, never was not God. He was God in the flesh. From his birth to his death and resurrection. He who has seen the Father, he who has seen me has seen the Father, says Jesus. Learn and know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. All right, that's the second thing to do this summer. So when you go back to school, if you go back to school, who knows, you might not. You might do homeschooling. No comment. When you go back and people ask you, what did you do this summer? Wouldn't it be great to say, The summer's passed and the fall is here, and I was saved this summer. Huh? I have eternal life this summer. You know, the summer's gone, the fall is here, and my addiction is gone this summer. I no longer drink. I no longer smoke. I no longer practice sexual immorality. I no longer lock myself in the bathroom. I no longer have to hide my passwords. I no longer have to feel like I'm a scum, a liar, a cheat, and a steal, a two-faced husband or wife. No, it's gone. This summer, the Spirit of God came into my life, and it changed me radically. It turned my life upside down, and Jesus won and the devil lost. Friends, we sing it. We sing hallelujah, don't we? The Lamb is overcome. Well, does anybody believe that the Lamb is overcome? Well, if the Lamb overcame, then you can overcome. Because I am more than a conqueror through, not through my strength, not through my culture, but I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross. It means something, but I've got to apply it right. I can't just seek a goosebump. I have to seek holiness. I have to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Time, chronos. Căutați pe Domnul câtă vreme se poate găsi. Se poate găsi astăzi. Third, what am I to do this summer? Well, this summer, desire and start to learn, read, love, and grow in God's Word. If you guys could put on the screen 1 Peter 2:2. Easy to remember. 1 Peter 2:2. Desire to learn, read, love, and grow in God's Word. This summer, summer school, summer training that's supposed to last the rest of your life, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. There are some that say, you know, brother, God is bigger than his Word. That's put like the Democrats put it. Of course, God is bigger than anything. God is omni, atot puternic. I get it. But the atot puternic Dumnezeu gave us 66 books. And these 66 books contain the mind of God, contain the will of God, contain everything that God wants me to know about him. That's why it says, să nu adaugi nimic și să nu scoți nimic. You get it? What does it say? Desire the pure word, the pure milk of the word, and other things? No. What Joe says and what Susie says and what was at the prayer meeting on Friday night, I'm for prayer meetings. I get it. But everything must come into conformity and be judged not by what I think, not by what I feel, but by the will of God as it is revealed in Holy Scripture. The prophet Isaiah says, back to the testimony and to the law. La lege și la... And if somebody thinks otherwise, thank you. You're welcome to come. Maybe you'll be influenced for good. God loves the sinner. But God, the Holy Spirit, who wrote the book, is promoting the book. And it says to desire this. Now, if you can project up for me Psalm 119, 9-11. A text that we all know very well. Psalm 119, 9-11, where the word of the Lord speaks to us very clearly about summer break and about all the days of our lives. Take a look at what verse 9 says. How can a young man, me, you, youth, young woman, anyone, cleanse his way? Now remember, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. All Scripture is God-breathed. How? By taking heed according to your word. Some modern-day pseudo-theologians have tried to convince many of you that this word is to be divorced from the Spirit of God. And they have said, the Spirit of God says one thing and is revealing new, fresh revelation. And the Word of God is the old stuff. We need to unhitch from the old stuff. And as such, they have said, and have, whether it's directly or indirectly by innuendo or by implied statements, they have tried to make the argument that the Spirit of God is against the Word of God and these two go hand in hand. You know what that's called? It's called liberal theology. I invite you to throw it out. God is not divided amongst himself. What God wrote in here is ever fresh, ever relevant. I mean, you saw it. It's written over 2,000 years ago. Redeem the time. Seize the opportunity. Seize the day. So back to Psalm 119, if you have it, verse 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to what James Dobson says. What Tony Campolo says. What Rick Warren says. What the late Eugene Peterson says in The Message, which really should be tossed. No. According to your word, the golden standard. Next verse. With my whole heart I have sought you. Desire the word of God. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Next verse. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Brother, the youth asks, what is the best way to, how can I stay pure? And they want some psychology formula. They want some mathematical equation. I told you at the beginning I'm a simple man. Because the Word of God is a simple word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By meditating on the Word. By reading the word. Your word I have put hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Dear friends, God's word will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from God's word. I don't remember where I read that, but I liked it. That wasn't my quote-unquote saying. Let me say it again. God's word will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from God's word. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means I know, when I'm in God's word, I know the decisions. I know how to make wise and intelligent decisions. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Thy word, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As such, this summer, the third thing that we can do together, whether it be on Zoom or not, what we can do is we can desire to learn, read, love, grow, and embrace God's word. I have a recommendation for parents and for, I think this is the sermon. This is the English-Romanian there. Yeah. All right. you know, any good professor will have a homework assignment, huh? All right. So, in addition to the wonderful task of seizing the day, the opportunity for salvation, for sanctification, the third thing we should get used to doing this summer, dear friends, is to be in the Word on a regular basis. You know, there's when I was at Regent College, they had a class entitled, I think, 2 weeks in Hebrews, and it would be a crash course where you were there 8 hours a day, and you covered all of whatever book it was. I liked those courses there because I have a longer attention span, as some of you may have noticed. And I'm glad that you all do too. But you got to do a lot in a short period of time. This summer, why not do 31 days of Proverbs? Now, counting on my knuckles, I think July has 31 days. Remember that technique? All right. So we haven't started July yet. Why not have 31 days of Proverbs? And a Zoom meeting at the end of the day where a pastor opens up the scriptures in Proverbs 1. And you just log in. You've been feeding on it all the time. And you see the beauty of it. Dads, Father's Day was last week. You do your job as a dad and you take out the book and you study it first. And then you start to teach it to your kids and read it to them. Husbands and wives, look it through, read it through prayerfully. You only have one July 1st, 2020. Buy it. It's free. And it'll be gone. It'll be lost forever. You get it? It'll be lost forever. Whether you do it or not, it'll be lost forever. You know, I remember when I was studying. I'm still studying, but when I was more actively studying, my Romanian Pentecostal colleague says, "Vai de mine, tu o să îmbătrânești în școlile, în băncile școlii." Remember that? Iară ești la școală. Hai de mine. And then I handed out a graduation card. And they said, "Vai, dar ce repede o trecut timpul. Deja ai terminat?" I'm sweating bullets. Deja? Let me tell you, no. See, the time passes anyway. You've got, by convention, you have 2 hours here Sunday morning. The time passes anyway. Why not use it for God's glory? For our good? Why not use July 1st to read Proverbs 1 and understand it better? Why not use July 2 for Proverbs 2 to read it and understand it better? Get instruction from it. I mean, the nice thing is you don't even have to fight traffic. You got Zoom. You guys have a commercial account. Zoom away. I mean, if the courts are doing procedures by Zoom, we certainly can do 15-minute lectures for the youth. For all ages. And even if you can't, that's okay. You do it at home. As parents, as children,
When you go back to school, what did you do? Listen, I got a degree from Emmanuel Church in Proverbs. I now know how to behave. And I learned it from God, the Holy Spirit. God taught me.
Auzi, ai verificat prorocia aceea? You better believe it. Avem cuvântul sigur al prorociei, care nu dă greș.
And take up John, because there's more than 31 days. John in 21 days. And look, the summer has gone, and you've understood Proverbs better, you've understood the Gospel of John better, and you read it for yourself, and you've developed godly habits, and your children have developed godly habits. Dear friends, the night is going to come when we don't have the opportunity to do so. Now it's time to accumulate all of these things.
So, going back to three words, three Greek words. Exagorazio menoi ton kairon. That's kind of what it means. I pray that God gives me the knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and discernment to be able to take his word and apply it for salvation, for sanctification, and for growth in the word of God. Amen.